Why We Keep Hiring Narcissistic CEOs, and this is the Harvard Business Review. And if you have at any point in time worked in an employment in America, you've encountered a narcissist, whether as a male or a female. In local congregation, you've encountered narcissists, whether male or female. There are certain traits that follow a narcissist, and this is why they continuously hire narcissists as CEOs. Because they lack empathy, emotions. They're in a business all to themselves. There's no teamwork in this type of a individual. It's all about how they can become victorious in anything that they desire to achieve. Today we want to talk about what most call the Jezebel spirit.
The common misconception with psychopaths is that they are all violent, extreme kind of criminals. The majority of them are living and working around us in jobs, psychologically destroying the people that they work with.
There's a growing realization psychopaths are thriving in today's workplace. According to the textbooks, every large company has them.
This is where I work. It's the ABC building in Sydney. Now, the figures are that around 0.5% of women and 2% of men are psychopaths. So what that means is that there are around 25 corporate psychopaths somewhere up there.
But who are they? What makes them tick? And how do you avoid being the next victim of the workplace psychopath? Psychologist John Clark started out profiling criminal psychopaths. But 4 years ago, he began to realise there was a much bigger problem.
I was giving a lecture on criminal psychopaths, and someone came down after that lecture and said that their boss had the same characteristics as what I'd just described for a criminal one.
Again, it was all smiles.
Annette knows just what he's talking about. Like most victims we contacted, she would only tell her story anonymously. She was a confident, career-minded public servant when she first met her new boss.
I got a shock when he took me into his office and shut the door. He just exploded. It was sort of like, well, what do we want you for? And then when he went to open the door to let me out again, it was all smiles.
There are 20 characteristics to define a psychopath. Really, the fundamental characteristic or factor is an absolute lack of remorse or guilt for their behaviour, pathological lying, manipulative, callous, egotistical, very kind of self-centred individual, glib and superficial charm.
The workplace psychopath's textbook strategies feature in a new David Williamson play, Operator.
Francine?
Yes.
They tell me you're the person who really runs things around here, so I thought I'd better say hello as quickly as possible.
Now, you're just trying to flatter me.
No, not at all. I mean, three different people I've spoken to have said that with your capabilities, you could step straight out of a support role into top management.
They are so devious. They are so good at saying the things you want to hear to your face at the same time as they're knifing you in the back.
What most call, quote-unquote, the Jezebel spirit, and we'll call it that as we're in this actual video talking about the topic. It's dealing with a person called Jezebel. You can read her story in 1st and 2nd Kings. She was a very manipulative woman, and a woman who with her words did a lot of damage. She caused a lot of idol worship, a lot of demonic stuff. And there are many brothers and sisters who write asking about narcissism in both men and women, asking about the quote-unquote Jezebel spirit in men and in women and the traits that follow. Oh yes, this is not just something that affects women. A lot of men want to simply say, she's a Jezebel, but there's a lot of men in the body of Christ, right? And a lot of men in congregations that claim to be disciples of Christ that are really not, that act like a female, talk like a female. You can't even have a simple conversation with a man nowadays because they go all effeminate on you, from 0 to 100, effeminate. The Jezebel spirit. Now, why is it that this spirit has such an ability to ruin our day, right? There are many who say that they have problems with these people at work, have problems with these people in church, have problems with these people in family. And in Judges 16:16, and it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. how to recognize a person that's under this type of demonic possession or oppression. Look at their words, very manipulative. They can cry on the spot when it's convenient to them. They can rage on the spot when it's convenient to them. They can caress you if they have to when it's convenient to them. Because with this type of individual, they're in the business of them. They're not in your business. They're not in the Father's business. They're in the business of them, how they can achieve what they want to achieve. And with their words, they can cause havoc on your life. In 1 Kings 19:2-3, we see Elijah. Now, Elijah had just defeated over 450 prophets of Baal, right? 450 prophets of Baal. And look at him here running from Jezebel. Do you not think that the same power of God that helped them overcome the 450 prophets of Baal, would have helped them with Jezebel? Of course he would. And the scripture reads, "Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me and more also, if I not make thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there." If you read that entire book, you'll see that Elijah fell into this depressive type of a state. What is it about the words of a narcissist? What is it about the words of these individuals that affects you so much? We need to look at the scriptures here. And we need to look at the pattern of our brethren and their battles with Jezebel, whether male or female, because it's a demonic entity. Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In the case of Samson, look at his downfall via the words of a Jezebel. In the case of Elijah, look at his downfall at this particular point in time in fear of the words of a Jezebel. They say hindsight is 20/20 in retrospect. Stop trying to learn from your own mistakes, which is a good thing too. You learn from your own mistakes, but learn from others' mistakes. In the case of Samson, he felt for that type of demonic spirit which was seducing him. He felt for it so much so that in verse 20, when he awoke out of his sleep, "I will go out as the other times before and shake myself, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him." Don't try to battle these demons by yourself. You're going to end up in a very dark place. Don't give in to these entities. Samson gave in, and it took him to the point, because of his disobedience, that he didn't even know the Holy Spirit had departed from him. Learn from your brother's mistakes. In the case of Elijah, after defeating 450 prophets of Baal, now he's here running from this woman? And look at what he says in verse 4. It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers. Here this man of God is taken to this point in his life. But God was there for Elijah. And God is there for you too. You see, because when dealing with these type of entities and people, whether they're your husband, whether they're your wife, whether they're your children, whether they're your co-workers, whether they're your pastor, your worship leader at church, or whatever you want to call it, whether man or female, it's usually the same traits that follow. And whatever it's in these people, the CEOs, the managers, the supervisors, like I said, the leaders at church, you see the same traits. Read Proverbs 6. Let's take a look at 17 on forward. A proud look is a trait of a person who has this spirit within them. A lying tongue. They can lie, manipulate, cheat, cry, tear up on the spot if they have to. And hands that shed innocent blood. While they're crying to you, while they're lying to you, they're already thinking about how to shed your life. They have no empathy. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. They're always thinking of how they can get ahead in a congregation. Always thinking about how they can get ahead at work. And you see these people climb up one step to the next, to the next, to the next. Don't you notice that the least people who deserve a position usually get the position? right? This is why when you work at a job, work unto Jesus. And God will open up the doors that he seems fit. No devil can take what God has for you. But don't get yourself involved in pride and envy. That's what they want you to react to. You react in the love of Christ. You react in the wisdom of Jesus. And you react as if you're working towards Jesus. Because if you're working towards Jesus Christ, you're giving 110% every day. And if your manager doesn't see it, if your coworkers don't see it, Jesus sees it. And you do the right thing even when no one is looking. And trust me, whether the employment office recognizes it, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you be in right standing with the Father. Feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies. Does that not happen in family? Does that not happen in the workplace? Does that not happen in church? False witness. And so in discord among the brethren, a narcissistic person, a person who has this type of a spirit, which you can characterize as a Jezebel, they're very good at creating discord and then sitting back, coming in as the peacemaker to solve the discord that they themselves created. They will pip person A versus person B and then come in acting like they're the healer. Don't fall for this type of demon. Don't fall for this type of spirit. Use wisdom. Remember, this is chess, not checkers. This is a marathon, not a race. Think 5-6 steps ahead before you get involved with these people, because Ephesians 6:12 tells you not to take it personal. Not to take it personal. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Oh, that person may have gotten you angry, but don't get angry at them. Get angry at the spirit behind them and pray. And when they say something, before you respond with your mouth, before you respond by running away, before you respond by reacting angrily, remember who's talking to you. Satan never tells the truth. The mark of a disciple of Christ is completely, totally contrary to a narcissist. Why? Because Mark 8:34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It is extremely hard for a narcissist or a person under the possession of a quote-unquote Jezebel type of a spirit to deny themselves. And they work really hard to make you a person who makes it hard for you to also deny yourself. Why? Because they try to take you to that place where you're going to react. They try to take you to that place where you're going to speak out and say, no, I'm going to handle this. You know, the best way to deal with a person like that, I've had people in the workplace, I've had people in life come at me and try to start stuff. You did this, you did that. Well, listen, you know what? It sounds like you have a personal problem. I have nothing to do with that personal problem. I haven't offended you, haven't talked about you, have never done anything even against you. So it sounds like what you're describing is a personal issue that I have nothing to do with, nor do I want anything to do with. That you're crying, I've seen people crying on the spot and it doesn't faze me anymore. So I'm sorry that you're crying. I will pray for those tears. And I wish you a tremendous day. God bless. And just move on. Don't waste your energy. Don't waste your time. Don't argue. Don't fight. In a church setting, oh, you hurt me. If you really hurt the person, then listen to it and say, you know what, I'm probably wrong. But if you have done nothing wrong, because you don't want to be prideful either and think that you're the man. No, it's not about that either. Remember, the Jezebel spirit has a way of making you act as a Jezebel itself. So you got to be very careful. This is why the Bible says, let him deny himself. Deny anything that even wants to remotely defend yourself and just be like, you know what? I've done nothing wrong in this case. I've repented if I have. I've asked Jesus Christ to help me. I apologize if I've done anything wrong in any way. But you know what? I'm stepping away from this situation and I'm just going to go in prayer. Have a good day. Don't entertain it any further. Move on, pray, seek Jesus, work as if you're working unto Jesus, worship Jesus Christ as he is God, and move on. Because when you entertain a person under this type of possession or oppression, you're gonna fall. You can't dance with the devil and expect to marry the king. Samson couldn't do it. Elijah couldn't do it. You think that you're that good that you can do this? No, listen. You can only overcome these things by the power of Jesus Christ. Submit to him and deny yourself and deny the urge to defend yourself against this type of a spirit. I'm not saying that you're not supposed to stand up for yourself at some point in time. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that don't fight these demons with your flesh. Fight them with your spirit. I've had to cut off my share of people in my life and stand my ground as well. Because remember, Jezebel always thrives on Ahab. You don't want to be an Ahab. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you have to sometimes take a stand and cut people off of your life that you have to cut off. They can cry all they want to. That doesn't mean anything. All that means is they can cry. That's all it means. Revelation 2:20 tells us the danger of the Jezebel spirit in the church. And I'll leave you with this. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast suffered that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. As I mentioned, Mark 8:34, to deny yourself. Very hard for a person like this to deny themselves. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Now, was this talking about a person specifically called Jezebel in that church? Some say it could be. But others say it's speaking of an example of a Jezebel in that actual church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask for your strength. We ask for your courage. And we ask for your wisdom when dealing with this type of a demon and when dealing with this type of a spirit. Quite often, as in the case of Samson, quite often, as in the case of Elijah, we think we know a little bit more than you, and we try to deal with these spirits our own way. In the name of Jesus, may we deny our urge to fight a spirit with the flesh, and may we submit to you so that you can give us your boldness as men and women of God to fight these demons in the way that they do not want us to fight them. And that is in spirit and in truth. If even the archangels say, may the Lord rebuke thee when dealing with demonic entities, how is it that we can become so prideful and cocky and think that we can handle these things without the power of God? No. Deny your urge to defend yourself in the flesh and submit to Jesus Christ. And he will give you the words on dealing with these people. And he will give you the words on cutting off certain people, even if it hurts you. You have to be bold. For these spirits of manipulation, they're at work in your life. Don't let them take another second of your spiritual walk. Deny your urge. Deny yourself. And submit to Jesus Christ. Give us that strength, Lord. Give us that strength and conviction, Lord. As many in pursuit of fighting Jezebel with the flesh have become Jezebels themselves. And that's not a good place to be. Pride comes before the fall. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Convict us, Jesus. Convict our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I love you, family. Thank you for watching. Thank you for taking time to share this on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter, with your friends, with your families, with your church. Thanks for any support. Thanks for anything that you guys have ever done. In the name of Jesus Christ, I love you very much, and thank you for taking up your time to watch. Bible verses are in the More Information tab below the video, and God bless you. Love you very much.